Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Raisin Bran? You got to put Raisin Bran up there. Everybody knows it.
It's Mike Shope.
Listen, get your own stupid old dying person team and choose your own cereals.
And the Bulldog.
I shall unleash my fury upon you like the crashing of a thousand waves.
That cereal is soggy. You reach into the fridge for the milk and open the lid on the milk to pour it in there, and that crap is already soggy.
I am untethered and my rage knows no bounds.
That's a problem for a cereal.
A huge problem.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hour number four rolls along here. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer sitting in for Shope and the Bulldog today. Mike Shope hopes to be back tomorrow. Wow, Bulldog, got to wait a little bit longer.
He's hanging out.
He'll be back in 2025.
He's chilling.
He's hanging out, relaxing, enjoying vacation.
We should all let him enjoy his vacation.
Mm-hmm. I do want to bring up something, though, because we've been talking a lot about the NFL games on Christmas.
Yes.
NBA games that were going on, and I have not watched a lot of, and real quick here, I have not watched a lot of regular season NBA games. I'm very much somebody, and I mentioned it today on the Extra Point Show, Christmas is typically the day that it's for the first time really all year where I'm sitting, I'm watching games, I'll place my bets, you know, what have you. And with NFL games yesterday that had, you know, some stake for the Bills, I was right. Obviously locked in on those. Really happy to see, though, that for the NBA, I'm seeing this from their communications department, most watched Christmas Day for the NBA in the last 5 years, with an average viewing of 5.25 million viewers per game in the U.S. across ABC, ESPN, ESPN2, Disney+, and ESPN+.
And you know what? Good for them, though, because LeBron even said it after the game.
Saw that, yeah.
He said, no, this is our day. And the NFL does typically take what they want, when they want it. However, when you put it only on a streaming service, including a streaming service who has upset people with the, no, you're not allowed to share any of this.
Well, they also botched the last sporting event.
And they botched the last sporting event. You put it's on a streaming service that didn't have necessarily the best PR coming into Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So, am I all that surprised?
I wonder if also there were maybe some people who were like, I don't, you know, I hope I have Netflix. We'll see what happens. And then they saw the box score and were like,
I'm
good.
But you know who has ABC? Everyone.
Mm. Yeah.
Ease of access is so much easier there.
Yep. Good for them, though. I mean, honestly, good for the NBA because I think that's been a big storyline.
You have an antenna? You got ABC.
Yeah. But from at least what I've seen, the ratings have not been good. So to see that Christmas Day was very good for them, and it was very good games. I was able to watch the Knicks and the Spurs one before I went over to my aunt's house. So that was great. Overall, though, we've kind of talked about the games. We haven't really mentioned how did you actually feel about the Christmas games for the NFL? Because this is now our second year doing it. And Derek, I got to tell you, it really feels wrong. I don't like it. I was talking with our boss, Tim Wenger. He was heading out earlier this afternoon, and he kind of said too, I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
Yeah, I don't like that it's on Netflix. Here's how much I don't like it. I don't like that it's on Christmas. I don't like any of it.
I said to you on Extra Point on Tuesday, I'm not watching these games. I'm doing that for the sake of my mental health. I don't need to watch the Kansas City Chiefs win another game and then seal up the one seed. I didn't need to watch that at all. And then we got 31-2 for the other game, and it's like,
so good.
So good.
Was that score guy? Man.
No, it wasn't.
Wow.
The last time it happened was 1965.
I did see, though, the first half was Scorigami, whatever the score was at the end of the first half. That was.
That was. But it's very clear that teams don't – like, games are never really good when they're in the middle of the week like that. And so maybe we should just stop doing that.
Yeah, an incredibly short NFL, week because all these teams had to play on Saturday.
Yeah.
To be able to have literally – the legal amount of rest or of day difference between their next game, and they were both blowouts against. By the way, all four teams are going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, it was a
and
sad set of games.
I mean, we talked about it. Me and Josh talked about it earlier today on the Extra Point Show too. It was like, this is not like a great sign if like these are four of your seven AFC playoff teams, and they were both blowouts on the road.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's really bad.
And that's kind of where we're at with, like, you know, you live in the moment sort of thing of it's Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore as that one tier, and then the second tier is those other playoff teams.
Mm-hmm.
And while there's plenty of truth in that perception, Pittsburgh probably is better than they showed against Kansas City.
Maybe. Maybe. I mean, I think they were down some of
throughout
their corners.
Throughout the season, they were down some of their corners.
And yeah, I mean, they've had their moments. I will say.
Throughout the season, they
Russell,
have been.
Russell Wilson had a few games, and now I'm back out again. Get my boy Fields back in there. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Wilson is Wilson, but it was the rest of the team that was not doing well.
George Pickens just deciding not to run routes at times. So good.
Yeah, no, I don't know what's going on there. But, like, that's the thing is, like, anytime you get football on like a Tuesday or a Wednesday, even those Thursday night games, how often are they not good?
Well, that was always the big thing with Thursday night football. Is not only would you have typically like the AFC South special, but it was overall bad football. You weren't getting like great performances.
You weren't getting
like
good
bad
execution.
Teams putting in a really good day. It was bad execution. It never looked good.
The Rams and the 49ers score a combined what, 18 points?
Yeah, that was like, rough.
That's the thing. Thursday night football is even a problem, and they refuse to acknowledge that. But no, let's shove it in Christmas for a Wednesday.
I do think, though, the Thursday night window this year has actually been better. I think.
It's been better, but oftentimes it's not good, though.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes. Like, the Bills played on Thursday against Miami. What happened?
Well, Miami fell down.
Decimation.
Never got up. Fell down.
And it's almost like
Sad. It's
something that happens more often. Yes, this year there have been better Thursday night games. Mm-hmm. Their peaks have been better, but the valleys are still very common.
Yep.
And it's their usual. A team gets blown out, or it's ugly football, or it's between two teams that nobody wants to watch.
I'm telling you, man, it's the AFC South special. That is Thursday night football to me. It's got to be like Tennessee versus Jacksonville, color rush uniforms. No one's happy. It's the worst.
It's NFC South football. It's like New Orleans against like Atlanta,
Carolina.
Yeah.
Still in their color rush uniforms.
Everyone hates it.
That is the staple.
The only change is the conference and division.
That's it.
Not even the division, just the conference.
But yeah,
There's one letter that changes. AFC, NFC.
I will say though, I mean like, because I sat there and watched both games. I did. And it, for me, it was just, I was bored out of my mind. Because, like, it's different with college blowouts because I can always build up in my head, too, of, like, not even just in my head. It's true. A team, we mentioned it, a Boise State, a Hawaii, a few years ago, a TCU making the Final Four or those big-time bowl games from the early 2000s.
Yes.
That alone is a great win for those programs. Even if they lose.
Because you're getting a check.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't matter if you lose. It's a great win. If it's a great game or even win, even better. But those are wins in of themselves. Houston and Pittsburgh, the only win they might get out of those situations, is because of how the seeding will fall. They'll play each other in the wild card round. One of you has to win that game.
And now, not to mention, you're getting long rest to your final game of the year.
Yeah, what are you getting, like 10, 11 days?
Yeah.
So you're getting the long rest, and then one of you does have to win a playoff game if the seeding falls as it should. Only to be just whipped around in the divisional round by teams that are clearly better than you. And while, sure, in the long run, you know, a coach, a GM, the players can kind of hold their head up high, and I agree to that, too, that if they win that playoff game, they can go, no, hey, we won a playoff game. There are teams that don't. There are great head coaches with good teams that lose in the wild card round regularly. Marvin Lewis coached the Bengals for over 10 years.
Couldn't get him past it.
Yeah, could not get past the wild card round. Marty Schottenheimer became famous for having very good teams and losing playoff games. And so for either your D'Amico Ryans or Mike Tomlin, it's been a long time
since
the Steelers have won their last playoff game. Let me look that up here real quick.
Yeah, no, Mike Tomlin. And Mike Tomlin, it is becoming one of these things where more of his flaws show up, but the main thing that keeps getting highlighted is he refuses to have a losing season. Yeah, it's great, but you're kind of tire spinning at this point. And that's not great either.
Their last playoff win, 2016, the divisional round against the Chiefs, 18-16.
Wow.
2016.
Been that long.
It has been that long.
And he's had teams with winning records, and he's had teams with talent.
Remember, 2017, they lose to the Jaguars in that divisional game.
Mm-hmm.
They're the two seed that year.
They were the team that, like, they were talking, and, like, they were ready to go, and...
And Jacksonville kind of beats them up.
They pretty much overlooked Jacksonville getting ready for New England.
Yep.
And no, you didn't even get that.
Yep. 18-19, no playoffs, although not losing seasons.
Because they also broke up their core, though.
Yes, they did.
That was
the three Bs or the triple Bs.
Yes. And Bell and Brown were gone.
Mm-hmm. And that's also the end of Roethlisberger, but they go 9-6-1 in 18, 8-8 in 19. Actually, funny enough, both times second in the AFC North, but ultimately no playoffs.
Did they make the playoffs with the 9-6-1 or no?
They did not, nope.
Oh, okay.
And then 2020 is the first time they're back. That's where they start really good that year.
Oh, that's when 9-6-1, they started off hot and then they collapsed, and that was the end of those teams.
That was check to make sure.
That was the end of Ben and Bell and all them. Yes.
Yeah, that 9-6-1 season, they started 7-2-1.
Because they like lost to the Raiders, the Broncos, and the Chargers in consecutive weeks.
Okay, you actually nailed that. It's Broncos, Chargers, Raiders. Bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
And they're all actually really close. 24-17, 33-30, 24-21.
And none of those teams were good that year.
No. No. Any team that has any year that has Oakland Raiders, they were probably awful.
Yes.
Then they beat the Patriots 17-10, lose to the Saints, and then beat the Bengals to go 9-6-1. They ultimately miss out. But yeah, to be 7-2-1 and not
because Cleveland.
I remember that year.
Cleveland needed to beat the Ravens.
Yeah.
Baker throws a last minute pick to CJ Mosley.
Yep. And that was the big thing, to be 7-2-1 and not make the playoffs.
Yes.
They also tied Cleveland week one, 21-21.
And that's where that one came from, yeah.
So they then miss in 19 as well, 8-8. Then 2020, which is a year I've brought up a lot.
That was Baker coming in for Cleveland, and they finally win a game for the first time.
Bingo.
Because their first game was Tyrod against Pittsburgh, and they don't win.
Yep. And so this team starts 11-0, loses then to Washington. Then they play Buffalo the next week, which I remember being very frustrated about because I really wanted Buffalo to be the first team to beat them because they were clearly a paper tiger. And then they lose four of their last five to go 12-4, including they lose to Cleveland twice in a row. Cleveland in week 17, 24-22. And then they lose to them in the wild card game, 48-37, in which that game, I think, was over very quickly.
It was over by halftime, and a lot of the points that Pittsburgh got and the yardage, like, it was Cleveland's mailing it in because they have, like, they're leading by, like, 30.
They are now looking to the next game.
Yeah.
21-9-7. Man, they tied again, 9-7-1 in 21. Where was that tie at?
Cincinnati?
Detroit, 16-16. That's
oh, my vile. God, that's right. Detroit.
And then they lose to the wild card round to the Chiefs, 42-21. And then they, I believe, miss in 22. They do 9-8. And then this year, or last year, 10-7, losing to the Buffalo Bills in the wild card. And then now this year. So there, you know what? Actually, like, that would be a huge thing for Tomlin and the Steelers, just to notch another playoff win for the first time in almost a decade. You haven't had any losing seasons, but like that also tells you like how far like they're kind of just in like this weird,
they're tire spinning.
Yeah, like they're just in a spot where like sure you're not losing, but like you definitely aren't winning.
Yes,
because it's one thing to make the playoffs, but you're the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'd even say like you know the Bills and
you
Chiefs
are supposed
and the Eagles.
To be. You are a franchise.
Yeah.
So we were talking about this off air, heading into the show today, and it's relevant to bring this in. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh Steelers historically are a successful franchise. Not just that, one of the elites.
Yeah.
Whereas now, you look at Buffalo, Baltimore, Kansas City, with the arrival of those three quarterbacks, their entire identities have changed.
Yeah.
Baltimore was a team that was there. They had past Super Bowl wins.
But it was all defense.
But it was all defense and running.
Mm-hmm.
And 1 year of Joe Flacco lighting his pants on fire in the postseason.
2011 Joe Flacco. Excuse me, 2012 Joe Flacco.
2012 Joe Flacco. Buffalo are the ultimate jobbers.
Mm-hmm.
They go an entire decade without beating Miami. They go to the Super Bowl four times and lose it. Then their last playoff appearance is a forward lateral on a kickoff. And then they don't see the playoffs again for 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
But then Allen shows up, and the entire direction of this franchise has been altered into a different era.
They're now considered one of the most well-run organizations in sports, and, let alone football. They win a playoff game basically every year.
And then there's Kansas City. They get Patrick Mahomes, and they have refused to be anything outside of the AFC Championship game at minimum ever since.
And because they've now won three Super Bowls in that run, four total going
four
back
appearances,
to the 60s,
three wins.
But even then, like, just franchise-wise, just because of this one era, the Patriots are kind of the same thing with the Brady era too, but like because of this one era, they're now up there with the likes of Green Bay and
yes.
and the Colts as well and stuff like that, who like have won multiple Super Bowls. Or Denver. Denver's, I think, the other yes. one I was thinking of, have multiple Super Bowls but aren't like Pittsburgh and Dallas and New England.
Right.
They're right there with like, no, we're multiple Super Bowl champions. We are indisputably one of the winningest organizations in sports or in football. And it's because of like a 6-year run.
But Pittsburgh is sitting here just like, hey, we're going to just sit in this mud and spin the tires here, kind of on purpose at this point.
Like, don't want to lose. It can't take like a year or two of genuine losing.
Yeah. You cannot take a year to genuinely rebuild. Even when they made the switch to Kenny Pickett, it was because Mitchell Trubisky was bad. And they had no choice.
Remember Mason Rudolph getting in last year too?
Yes.
Towards the end of the year for them to make a playoff push, he was in as well.
Yeah, because they eschewed Pickett and then traded him.
Wasn't that a game in Baltimore? I mean, late in the year, rain, gross. Maybe not Baltimore. Somebody, but it was like rain, it was gross, and Rudolph's in there. It was just, I think that's the thing too. Like, Pittsburgh is now, like, their identity has changed in, well, I mean, really since their last playoff win of like being perennially successful, and you wanted to build yourself like Pittsburgh.
And now they're just good enough to be average.
The last 8 years, you're just like, cool, you're a mediocre team.
Yeah.
Your coach is more than good enough to get in the playoffs, but he's not innovative. Good. He's not going to go for fourth down.
He's not elevating you.
He's not elevating you necessarily. You have
when
incredible
was the last
talent.
Super Bowl win? Do you still have him up?
Their last Super Bowl win would have been 08. And that was against Arizona with Kurt Warner.
Yeah.
Now, they did make the Super Bowl in
And the keys were just handed over from Cowher at that point,
mm-hmm,
too.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. Tomlin was very young into his career.
That's his second year he wins Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He does make a Super Bowl, though, in his fourth year, 2010. They ultimately lose to Green Bay. That's the last Super Bowl they've been in.
Yeah.
They did lose in the AFC Championship game to New England, that being in 2016, part of their last winning a playoff game. But outside of that, I mean, like, they have now become one of those just middling organizations. They're kind of good, but they're kind of not. You know, you're almost frustrated that they'll win 10, 11 games in a season because you kind of know what they are.
They're mid.
That's a wild card game I'd be into for that reason alone. Of like Houston, who had all these expectations, maybe kind of figures it out at the end. They had a lot of injuries, and the Tank Dell one is brutal and gruesome, and you feel awful for
him. It's demoralizing.
Yeah, the Stephon Diggs injury as well. They never really met expectations, but if they can get a playoff win, there is something to that of keeping the season successful, not being a lost season, what have you. And then for Pittsburgh, I mean, of the last few years, this kind of felt like one of those years where it's like, this is going to be the year they're bad. This will be the one where Tomlin is, 4-13, and they're just not good, and it's a full reset. And then you're like, oh no, it's a bad quarterback class. Like, what are they actually doing? Instead, they might go 11-6 or 10-7, but still make the playoffs. And then, I mean,
in a year where 10-7 might even still only could they be knocked to the 3 seed if everything goes awry for them?
Who?
Pittsburgh?
No, I think that Baltimore would have to... Did Baltimore lock in the AFC North?
No.
Yesterday? No.
What I'm saying, though, is if Pittsburgh loses one more time here, they go to 10-7. Denver wins out. Chargers win out. Could they fall to 7?
Well, I think so.
Now I need to go find a playoff predictor for this.
I believe they can. Let's take a quick time out here. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer talking a little bit about the AFC playoff picture, even though a lot of the seeds are locked in. Some maybe cool, interesting storylines that don't necessarily involve Super Bowls. We'll be talking about that after a quick timeout. This is WGR.
Jackson will keep this time. And look at the speed. Lamar Jackson is gone. Touchdown, Lamar. Christmas, 48 yards.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here on Show of the Bulldog. Sitting in for Schulte and the Bulldog. Hopefully Mike Schulte back tomorrow. Bulldog, you'll see him in 2025.
Yeah, we'll see him.
He's taking a nice long vacation.
We'll see him in a little bit.
We are currently watching the Game Above Sports Bowl. It is between Pittsburgh and Toledo.
Oh.
They're in fourth overtime.
We
if you don't
just
know.
Got spicy here.
Yeah, if you don't know, college overtimes, I think after the second overtime, get correct. To where you're just doing two-point conversions.
Yes. Third and, overtime and on, yep. You are just two-point conversions for the game.
And you go back and forth. Toledo seemed to have won the game on stopping Pittsburgh's two-point
brilliant,
conversion.
Brilliant corner blitz on the offensive right side.
And another cornerback mugged a receiver.
Holding,
I know a lot of people don't want flags in those times.
Basically dragged him down.
Yeah.
All but grabbed him to the point where he was dragged down.
Because we were both upset. Watching the replay, though, of the hold, it's egregious.
It was early. That was the thing.
Yeah.
If it was like while the quarterback is running around for his life 25 yards in the backfield, because that's what happened, the blitz discombobulated the whole play.
Yeah.
But the problem is now that the blitz and the hold probably did it, because
yep.
that was probably his route.
I do love mid-major bowl games.
Yes.
I don't love the bigger teams that clearly missed out on the playoff that a lot of their players sit or they go into the transfer portal. And that's a thing that's happening a lot in
this is
in
where the
football.
Spirit of college football is.
But I do love this stuff where you got Pittsburgh and Toledo. Both are 7-5. Both would love a bowl win. And particularly as a MAC city with UB, I'd love Toledo to win this. That would be really cool.
You know what's more interesting, like with the college football playoff expanding to the 12 team format, is that you've now added five more teams to having just a sad ending.
Yeah.
You don't get the bowl win to go out on a high note.
No, that's right.
Like those playoff teams, 11 of them end in despair.
I saw one thing. I think it was a fan that was more joking, but it was a Tennessee fan who, after getting blown up by Ohio State, was like, so do we get a bowl game now or is that it?
No, that's it.
And it was like, no, that was it. You're done.
Did he get stuffed?
Toledo get to celebrate short. Again. Toledo is celebrating again. Toledo has won 44-42.
They're probably going to review it, though.
Probably.
So the refs are going to get in the way.
They're celebrating on
celebration.
The field again.
Yeah, it's a repeat performance of the celebration right now, but now the refs are saying, go back on the sideline.
This is so good. Because
we're going to review this.
Nope, we are done.
Oh, we are done.
Toledo wins the Games Above Sports Bowl. Some of these names, though.
I love these names. Yeah, that is the part about bowl season that is like weird, is that part, but... Yeah, no, the refs are probably going to slow this thing down now.
Real quick on the bowl games, by the way, Derek. And I do want to mention this because I think UB likes this because they got more practices and they can get going and really gear up for their game against Liberty. I'm a Texas Longhorns fan, Derek. I will have seen two playoff games before UB plays their first game on January 4th.
So we don't have the cameras up yet. I love that the way you showed two
hook 'em, baby.
Was hook 'em.
Always. Always.
That's loyalty to the crest.
But I will see a game against Clemson, and then next Wednesday, I will see their game against Arizona State, and I will still wait three more days.
He got it.
Did he?
He gets it.
Oh, no. Oh, that's awkward. They celebrated again. You can't stop him a second time.
Oh, no. He
you
got
do it.
It
again. Do you do it again?
Yeah, look, his knee does
it's
not
the
touch
second
at
effort,
all.
And he reached. Yeah.
He totally got there.
Oh, boy. Oh, no. I mean, we're on mute. We have no idea if they're like, looking at this or
this is
just
amazing.
The broadcast looking at this.
It's amazing.
Incredible. Incredible. But, yeah, that's just a slight frustration that I have is that I will – and it's not just Texas.
But
it's
also,
every team that played in the first round of the playoffs that moved on
good
will
for
have played
UB.
Two games before UB plays theirs.
But also mid-major bowls, it's about the destination.
Oh, yeah.
UB's in the Bahamas.
Yeah. By the way,
are you kidding me?
Outside of the playoff games?
Hell yeah.
Outside of the playoff games. Actually, this is really cool for UB in particular. Outside of the playoff games, this will be the final bowl game.
Love
and
that.
It will be on a standalone window. ESPN2, 11 a.m. Saturday, January 4th. They are a standalone game.
That's awesome.
I did not know that until I just looked at this.
They got a good draw.
I think you're right, though. It's all about the destination.
Yes.
You're not going to Idaho, baby. You're going to the Bahamas.
Yeah, I'm not going to like...
not going to the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. I'm going to the Bahama Bowl, baby.
Nothing against the famous Potato Bowl.
No,
that's where Josh Allen popped off
yep.
and sold it once and for all. Like, yeah, I'm a top 10 pick. But, yeah, this is like... Where is this game being played right now?
Which one? The one we're watching currently?
The one we're watching right now.
Let's look Indianapolis, I thought.
Yeah. So I like
Detroit. Detroit. Ford Field, Detroit.
Okay. So I, you know, great venue, NFL venue. It ain't the Bahamas.
No.
It ain't the Hawaii Bowl.
The Hawaii Bowl. Yep.
Like, UB, good for you. Love that you got the Bahama Bowl.
I didn't realize that they are in a standalone window for bowl games.
They got a good draw and a good place.
And they will be the last bowl game until the semifinals. That's awesome. For the college football playoff. That is awesome.
UB first is year. Your palate cleanser.
Yeah.
8-4 before more playoffs.
8-4 UB against 8-3 Liberty. Liberty starting quarterback this year, Caden Salter, not going to play. He's already transferred to Colorado because they were going to be a team to start the year that thought we were going to be the group of five. We'll be right there with ultimately what ended up being Boise State. Tulane was there for a little while. Army. They thought they were going to be one of those teams. Ultimately didn't. They go 8-3 UB 8-4
Yeah.
It'd be a real nice ninth win. And you were the palate cleanser, standalone bowl game on a Saturday afternoon. Saturday almost morning. It's 11 in the morning.
Yeah, it's 11 in the morning.
That's really nice. That's going to be cool. Yeah. I had not realized that like they were alone.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about it.
And again, you guys get to go to the Bahamas.
Yeah.
That's a win right there.
That's a win all around. You're leaving
you
Buffalo
Winters. You could lose 51-0 and you went to the Bahamas.
We went to the Bahamas. Got an extra game. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Real quick, you don't want to, but like.
Yeah, do want to jump back though on our – because we were talking about the playoff predictor and we want to see potentially what could happen to Pittsburgh. They could fall to the seventh seed.
We messed around with it during the break. All three of those teams in Denver, LA, and Pittsburgh could be at any interchangeable spot right now. And it's fascinating how you can get there.
Now, and that's the thing. It seems to be – those are the three. The Chargers, Pittsburgh, and Denver. Those are your three.
There is only one
seeds.
Way that Pittsburgh gets to the seventh seed, and that is the Chargers went out, the Broncos went out, and the Steelers lose next week.
So Toledo, by the way, real quick, has not won the games above Sports Bowl for the second time. The call was reversed. It's still 44-43.
Think about the morale on both sidelines now. Think of the energy that you've expelled celebrating twice.
It's exhausting. We just turned this game on, too. Not like we've been watching this entire thing. We were watching a lot of soccer on Boxing Day here. And just turning this on, and I am already emotionally drained from this.
And now you're at a fifth. So this defense thought they made two stops. Yes. You have to get back on the field to do it again.
Yeah. That's
that is sickening.
That is so fun.
It is sickening. So fun. But it's also, this is the spirit of college football in itself, though. It's not about like the conferences bickering with each other about what playoff spot they got or if they didn't make the playoff. Like the SEC fans all up in arms about what had happened. Oh, no. And Toledo gave up the score. It's 46-44. Their offense has to keep them alive.
Oh, boy.
After celebrating twice.
That's a shame. That sucks.
And a player That's hurt terrible. Himself celebrating.
Oh, man, that is terrible. I will say, though, on bickering conferences, actually, that is like fully college football.
Yes.
But also, conferences love to bicker.
Conferences do love to bicker, but like you don't. It's not a national story. It's not something that we always have to worry about. Bickering amongst conferences is typically reserved for bowl games.
Bowl games, 80s on their Discord channels.
Hating each other.
Sorry, email chains.
It should just be about the hate. That's what it should be about. That's the spirit of college football is the hate.
The rivalries.
The hate.
The rivalries are big.
You are here to hate.
The Paul Bunyan matchup.
Michigan, Ohio State.
The game.
Some dude, some lawmaker in Ohio is trying to make flag planting specifically at midfield at Ohio Stadium a felony.
Did that ever go anywhere?
I don't think it
did. Pass like a Twitter post? I don't think it did.
I don't know.
But regardless, I was happy that day.
It's meme.
Yeah, I was happy that day. It was good for me.
It's because you're salty because Ohio State lost to Michigan.
Oh, my goodness. They're reviewing this, too.
Oh, my God. All right. Now the refs are getting in the way.
This is an exhausting game.
Yeah.
All right. I think we're good. I think they were just showing the replay a bunch.
Okay. Because, like, now it would be getting exhausting. Yep. Here we go. So, Toledo, who's thought they've won the game twice, celebrated twice, has to score here. And it's wild.
You think for the second time they ran on the field specifically for the thought of they can't stop it again?
And now there's a timeout called. Oh, my God.
Pat Narduzzi calling a timeout for Pitt.
Jeez. At some point, everyone in those stands is like, all right, this needs to end.
Like, I want to go home.
This needs to end.
The stands are not full.
No, they're not. But that's the other thing. It's Pittsburgh-Toledo. It's not going to be the greatest draw. No. But at the same time, you're here for this. In the spirit of college football. That's what I love. That's what I love about college football.
I can't believe this game is still going. Real quick, though, on the NFL playoffs, too, because we were talking a little bit about that. So yes. There is a chance Pittsburgh can wind up as a 6 seed. We were kind of running through that a little bit here. It's a lot of like Chargers
possible.
Lose to the Patriots and or Raiders. They can move down to the 7 seed. Pittsburgh, you just have to finish up against the Bengals, which could be tough. But even then, if the Chargers lose any of those games,
they do have tiebreaker on both of these teams. So if they have the 11-6 record or the 10-7 record each time, and oh my God, Toledo,
quarterback had to run around and throw a pass,
staying frisky in this, love it.
And now Toledo has to stay on the field and score again. Man, it's tough.
It's wild.
Of the three teams, though, the Chargers, Denver, Pittsburgh, me and Josh did this a few weeks ago on the Extra Point Show, kind of like, who would you want? My answer has not changed.
The difference is, when we were having that conversation, Pittsburgh was the leader in the North.
That's right. So it was much more of, who do you want, Chargers or Denver?
Yes.
Pittsburgh
you
was not
throw
really
Pittsburgh into
in
the equation and absolutely have an answer for it.
So who would you want then of those three? Right now?
Denver's still the team I would want to draw first. You can exploit a rookie quarterback, even as well as Bo Nix has played this year.
I just love the matchup possibility of Sean McDermott. I know the defense has not played well. Aaron Quinn over at Cover One's been doing a lot of work today, talking about the pass defense in particular not being very good this year. But I like the idea of Sean McDermott up against a rookie quarterback, even somebody who, and I kind of trashed it a little bit, as experienced as Bo Nix is, I think you can exploit him better than Herbert with a lot of ability. And then just a Pittsburgh team where you didn't get to play T.J. Watt the last playoffs.
Honestly, the Chargers are the only one
that'll be healthy.
The Chargers are the only one I'm putting at the bottom. It's probably Denver, Pittsburgh, L.A. Mm-hmm.
I would agree with that.
And that is probably where I would sit with it and be okay with this. If I'm Houston, by the way, what team do I want to draw? It's very unlikely that Denver becomes that team.
I don't want to play the Chargers. I don't want to play Denver.
Houston is kind of a mess.
Yeah. They're the team I...
But if I'm going to take one of these teams, I would honestly want Pittsburgh.
It's Pittsburgh. That's the 4-5 matchup.
The team that is currently there.
That's the matchup I want is Pittsburgh. Is because
now, think about it in the wild card setting. Which of these three teams do you want? The answer is obviously Houston. But if someone has to pick between Buffalo and Baltimore, like say you're at like any of those three teams.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
Like, who are you trying to posture yourself to beat?
Realistically, I mean, if you're a fan of those teams, I think you start looking at playoff success, which both of these teams have had real blunders, but you're thinking like...
Yeah, Buffalo is usually next round.
Exactly. Buffalo is not typically who I'm beating in the wild card round. It's if I'm, you know, the Chiefs or the Bengals. This is the divisional round. Where Baltimore, you're thinking, I've seen Lamar fall on his face in the wild card round.
Pressure's on
him. I haven't really seen the Bills do that. I keep seeing the Bills win in the wild card round.
Even tightly contested, they still win it. And again, past results do not guarantee the future. But
realistically, all three of them are just rooting to be the 5 seed. They are all desperately
trying to fight their way, scratch, claw, kick, punch, any way you need to get into the 5 seed.
Man, and that's the thing too, and it's all for the hope that you're going to play, or not the hope. It would be that you're playing Houston. If you're Denver, you've got to win out, and you got to have Pittsburgh drop that game to Cincinnati. The Chargers, let's just check this here real quick. So for the Chargers, they've got their game against New England. They should beat them. And then week 18, you got the Raiders. You should beat them. That would move you to the 5 seed just outright winning. Pittsburgh wins their game. They go back there. So you need Pittsburgh to lose to the Bengals to keep you there. And then Denver can't really get up there, even if I believe they went out. And no, they can't. So they've all got an avenue to the 5 seed, and I think that's really what it comes down to. They want to get to Houston. By the way, Toledo did eventually win this game, and it is finally over, 48-46.
Imagine having to celebrate on that last play.
It finally happened.
Imagine having to celebrate three times.
You're kind of seeing it on the field. No one's really celebrating. They're just glad it's over. They're just glad it's over. I think that... That 4-5 game, though, I am so into watching it because I'm big in the storylines. We haven't even touched on the NFC yet, but I'm huge on the storylines. And we've brought up, like, with Pittsburgh, they haven't won a playoff game since 16. Houston, there's this feeling of a failed season that maybe you can grab something. Look at these other teams. Denver with Bo Nix. Denver kind of feels like they're back after being kind of lost in the desert for a few years here. The Chargers, you finally get your first playoff win with Herbert in the first year with Harbaugh. That feels like you're a year ahead of schedule.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot. There's a lot of juicy matchups that could potentially be that 4-5, and it really all comes down to it's because Houston's kind of garbage. and they got injured.
And they're broken.
And they got, yeah, they got a lot of injuries really at the wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
And then yesterday's performance really, I think, I think you're right also to bring up, like, it's a short week that doesn't help anybody. But to lose, what, 31-2? I mean, if you're all of those teams, you're sitting there licking your chops going, we could really leave our season on a high note, kind of knowing you're going to lose to Baltimore or Buffalo or Kansas City, and instead be like, no, we got a playoff win, and we can build off that. You can build,
and we have a chance to continue the story.
Yep.
It's a chance to continue your story.
Yeah.
And it's your best chance to continue your story.
Yep. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here for one more segment after a quick timeout. You're listening to WGR. Back, everyone. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer sitting in for Shipping the Bulldog today. Quick final segment. We've been talking a lot the last hour about these playoff matchups, potential, you know, seedings. We're talking a lot of the AFC, but in the break here, we were just looking at the NFC bracket too. There's a lot of teams in here. You know, just mentioning it real quick, there are different teams in different stratospheres of what is considered a successful season. You know, Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore. Right now, it's championship or bust kind of season. That's sort of the feeling. You go to the NFC, Detroit, Philadelphia. I'd even throw Minnesota in there. Kind of feels like championship or bust. You know, you got 13-plus wins, 12-plus wins. That's kind of where you're at. Green Bay, I'd throw in there as well on the NFC side of things. But we mentioned already Denver, Chargers, Pittsburgh. Like, each of them potentially getting a win over a Houston team that looks really rough right now in the wild card round.
You know, Sal Capaccio brought this up, too, about, like, the playoff droughts.
Mm-hmm.
If Denver wins a game,
yeah,
they clinch, and Atlanta takes the South.
Mm-hmm.
There are two teams with anything longer than 4 years for a playoff drought. It's the Panthers, and then the Jets double them up because the Panthers are at 7 years, and the Jets are at 4.
That is insane.
Yeah.
That is insane. But it you look at some.
And if I'm Carolina, I'm starting to get a little bit of hope because Bryce Young's looking more promising again.
Very good.
And there's there's hope abound with Carolina. And then there's the Jets.
Then there's the Jets. Just nowhere to go.
Misery personified in a football team.
But looking at these wild card runs here, and one that really jumped out to me is actually the 7 versus the 2 seed in the NFC. Washington at Philadelphia again. Just what would that be? 2 weeks after playing each other before. Jalen Hurts out for much of that game. Kenny Pickett goes in. Saquon Barkley went off.
And you have a bad taste in your mouth because Jalen Hurts gets hit on a dirty play.
It's not a great play. It's not a great play. It is not the Trevor Lawrence play. There are differences. But
he was on the ground and he gets this hit, and it's like, that's unnecessary.
It is not great. But for Washington, it's been, you looked it up.
A season of incredible, just a season of incredible momentum. And now you're looking at a team that they have not had a playoff win since 2006.
Mm-hmm.
It was the 2005 season, but 2006 playoffs. That's the last time they've won a playoff game. It was against Tampa Bay in 2006. Then they lose 3 straight playoff matches against Seattle in 08 and then 12. And I said that was 2 different flavors of beatdown from the Seahawks too. Like one of those teams, it's Sean Alexander doing it to you. Alexander Hasselbeck, mm-hmm. a strong offense and an okay defense. And then the other flavor is Legion of Boom.
Yeah,
comes and kicks you up and down the place.
Just brutal. But for Washington, like you mentioned, a year of momentum. You have arguably the best rookie quarterback in the NFL.
You got rid of the juju of Dan Snyder.
He's gone.
Wash the stink off.
Sounds like the stadium talks are starting to ramp up a little bit for them. There's really hope in that organization. And
there's hope in likability.
Yeah. And if you could beat Philadelphia in that first round, get your first playoff win since 06, do something that the last time I think you had this much hope, RG3.
Oh, my God.
I think that'd be those are the storylines that really get me to, Super Wild Card Weekend. Those are the stories.
Those are the stories. Those are the things you want to see.
That locked me in. That's going to do it for me and Derek. Thanks for listening along. Mike Shope hopefully will be back tomorrow. But until then, Nightcap coming up next, and we will have coverage of tonight's Thursday night football game between the Bears and Seattle coming up at about 7:30. This is WGR.